we realized and that we would have to let them know, we'd also realize that we'd be introducing ICANN to them, to many of them, for the first time. And while those of us who work at ICANN have a pretty favorable opinion of ourselves, that's not universally shared. We understand that. And so we thought that it would be important that we establish a reputational baseline as ICANN makes this big expansion, a starting point of sorts. And as our presence in the world expands and the new GTLDs grow, we thought that we needed an idea of what we're doing right, what we're doing wrong, where we need to improve, and a reputational survey, a baseline, would give us an idea of the areas in which we need to improve. And so we brought in Echo Research, and this is Bob Takis, who we've been working with for about a year now. And Bob has and his firm, Echo Research, based in London, has developed a survey series which began with a qualitative analysis that began in Toronto, ended in December, and then has been conducting a quantitative survey, a more extensive survey. Some of you may have talked with Bob or done the online survey, and it's going to be complete within the next couple of weeks, but this is a preview, a pretty solid preview of where we are right now. So with that, I'm going to turn it over to Bob. He's going to do a presentation through all of this, and then we can take some questions afterwards. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Jim, and good afternoon to everybody. Okay. My name is Bob Takis, and as Jim mentioned, I'm Executive Vice President of Echo Research. And I just want to first off thank everybody for coming here today. Anytime you get a 12 or 12:30 spot, it's always difficult. And it's so nice to see so many people in attendance today who want to learn more about the reputation audit. So as Jim mentioned, what we're going to be seeing today is really the first cut, if you would, of our data and the reputation benchmark. We're going to be processing this over the next few weeks with the intent of having it completed by the end of the month. A little bit about Echo. We've been, for the last quarter century, providing advice to companies with respect to research and reputation measurement. We have 700 staff working across 18 offices, and we're registered experts in the field of image and reputation. You know, when I was putting this presentation together, I saw this quote. I thought it was going to be very relevant for this afternoon's session. And we see that the reputation of 1,000 years may be determined by the conduct of 1 hour. And we're going to be spending 1 hour together. And I'd like to say that when you think of reputation, it's not about one stakeholder. It's not about one department. But it's really a shared responsibility that each and every one of us has a role to play in driving the reputation of the organization forward. So what I would ask is, when we're going through the slides today, ask yourself, what could I do to help move the reputation forward? What are things that I need to do? Because at the end of the day, it is a shared responsibility. So what I'd like to now do is just cover off a little bit about the objectives. And we had four major points that we wanted to cover. The first was to look at the image and reputation of ICANN, including, and this is really from the lens of both internal stakeholders and external stakeholders. The second was to uncover perceptions among the management team with its ability to provide really operational excellence and also look at the views with respect to the multi-stakeholder organization. And as Jim mentioned, the end game is really to be able to provide actionable KPIs that we could measure. So what this study is going to enable ICANN to do is create a baseline. So right now, what you're seeing today is really the line in the sand. And from here, we could come back in 6-8 months and measure progress around these KPIs. And then lastly, it's about really synthesizing all of this data and providing a set of recommendations. And that's where we're at right now. So what you're going to see today is really the data that that our team is going to be using to pull together a set of recommendations over the next next few weeks. So how did we do it? Well, we deployed our reputation audit model. And the model is really based on three phases. The first phase is called identity. And that's really, really looking at internal stakeholders and how they identify with the values of the organization. The second stage is the image. So it's really about obtaining stakeholder image from an external perspective of how they view the organization. And then finally, the influence phase. And this is looking at media. This is looking at content to see what kind of content is really shaping and driving perceptions among both internal and external stakeholders. So to put it simply, we spoke with internal stakeholders, external stakeholders, and then we analyzed the media. Next, we applied this model to eight reputational drivers. We looked at operations, and we bifurcated operations in respect to both core internet functions and more managerial type of internal management functions. Next, we looked at image and the perception of image from both internal and external stakeholders, as well as the media. We looked at issues of trust. We looked at, to the degree, the perceptions around the multi-stakeholder model. We also looked at the ability and perceptions to the extent that the organization was balancing stakeholder interest. We also looked at internationalization and tested themes around perceptions around, is ICANN a truly global organization or not? We also investigated key themes around the new GTLD program. And then finally, we looked at the communications. So as Jim mentioned, we began the study in Toronto, where we conducted in-depth interviews with 14 key senior internal stakeholders. Now, from there, we moved on, and then we spoke to external stakeholders. And these stakeholders were drawn from a wide pool of thought leaders, academics, national and international entities, members of the technical community, governments. They were drawn from a pool from Europe, LATAM, Africa, APAC, and the U.S. And we had a total of 26 interviews. And these were conducted between November and December of last year. So in total, we had 40 interviews of both internal and external stakeholders. Now, from there, the team synthesized all this data and presented it in mid or actually late December. Now, for some of you that might have been at the ALAC meeting, you saw me present some of the key findings from that study. Now, that study or that body of work enabled us to create the survey instrument. And the survey instrument was administered to the internal stakeholders online, and we began that process in mid-February through mid-March. Members were sent invitations to the participants via email from the secretariats, and the survey was made available in eight languages. We had a total of 128 completes, and you could see the distribution both by region and by key internal stakeholder group. Now, in respect to the commercial side, what we did here is we looked at a pool of both applicants and non-applicants. And our goal here is to achieve 100 in each one of the regions. And as you can see, we're at 327 right now, and that's why we're expecting to wrap this up over the next 2 weeks. So we'll have 100. For purposes of today, the sample size is based on 327. And then finally, on the influence side, now again, this is analyzing the media. Our team looked at 525 items. All of the articles were read in the natural language, and the articles were read from July through November. And you might ask, well, gee, Bob, why did you pick that time period? And we felt that there was so much media coverage over certain events during the summer that might have skewed some of the results. So we took a picture from July onward to analyze. And we put these articles through our rating system, which is really a point system that we've developed that captures issues such as tone, messages, spokespeople, uses of sources, headlines, visuals, prominence, placement, size. So all of these issues are looked at and they're scored. So each article is read in natural language. It's looked at for a number of elements, and it's ranked. All of the articles then are totaled and summarized, and that provides a composite of relative tonality. So what did we find? Well, this next chart, I'd like to make several observations. First, the good news. The good news is with respect to the multi-stakeholder model, you could see that across the board, there's very favorable perceptions. And I should note that the blue tabs are internal stakeholders, the green tabs are external, and the gray tabs are the media, or the influencers, if you would. Now, going down the next four, we see operations, image, trust, and balancing stakeholder interest kind of as a neutral to unfavorable. So what this certainly suggests is that there is more opportunity and more room for improvement. And what you could also see is the alignment between both internal and external stakeholders. So the perceptions around these dimensions from both the inside and the out are pretty much aligned. What I'd like to turn your attention to are the bottom three. So we looked at the notion of internationalization. And here you could see both internal and external stakeholders have a relatively unfavorable perception. Now, I would submit that given the new organization structure and the hub-spoke model that's going to be implemented, that we would envision this to move over time. That, again, we have to keep in mind this is a snapshot of where things are as of today. Now, turning to the new GTLD services, this is an area where we see a gap, and the gap between internal stakeholders and external. So internally, you think that you're doing, it's basically a neutral. But from the external stakeholders, there's a relatively higher unfavorable perception. And then lastly, we looked at communications. Now, communications in this regard, when you see unfavorable, it doesn't mean that the communications itself is unfavorable. It's unfavorable with respect to stakeholder outreach. So the good news is people want to hear more. People want to be engaged more. And I think this is the takeaway in this box. And then finally, what I'd like to do is, you know, draw your attention to the gray tabs, which is the influencer tabs. And if you take a look at them, you could see, well, where are they? And it's pretty much neutral. So what does that mean? It means that as an organization, you don't have a lot of external or the content that's being published is neither favorable or unfavorable. So what happens is when people look to these sources for opinions or to help shape their perceptions, they're getting a neutral. So what happens to them? They default back to their own internal perceptions. So here's another opportunity where if you could influence the influencer, we would expect to see certainly movement, much more movement into the favorable category. So that's kind of a very high-level overview. The next part of the presentation is really going to be looking at each one of these dimensions in more detail. Now, when we look at the multi-stakeholder model, we find that that's one of ICANN's greatest assets. And you could see both internal and external stakeholders believe that by quite a big margin. Also, looking at looking at balancing stakeholder interest equally, we see a divide between both internal and external stakeholders. And you might ask, well, gee, why do you think so? And one thought we had is because basically on a commercial side, if I believe I'm getting treated equally, I'm probably thinking that everybody else is, and that people on the internal stakeholders are typically more close to the process and may have other perceptions and opinions. Now, the other issue I want to focus on is the last one, and that's the issue of transparency. And here, you know, even though it's below 50%, but what we've seen in the discussions we've had, majority of the stakeholders believe things are getting better and that those issues are turning around. So certainly what we would recommend is to continue in your messaging that when there's opportunities to demonstrate, you know, transparency, to go do that. Because it is the internal and external community believes that it is tracking on a positive track. Now, when we look at media, we find that by and large, the media coverage around the issue of is ICANN a global organization, and is it a multi-stakeholder model, and does it work? You have tremendous support and tremendous favorability. Favorable coverage around those 2 points. Now, we asked the question to internal stakeholders, you know, do you believe, or how effective do you believe the SOAC structure is? And the good news is, by and large, you could see 61% came back and said, yeah, it's very effective and fairly effective. So you see a lot of green. So the internal stakeholders believe in the organization. And it's almost a 2-to-1. If I draw your attention to the blue box, it's almost 2-to-1 between effective and ineffective. So stakeholders believe that that model works. Now, when we turn to operations, as I mentioned earlier, we've bifurcated this into two parts. One is looking at operations with respect to mission. And then the second part is really looking at operations in more of a business sense, in the business functions. Now, with respect to core internet mission, you know, overwhelmingly, you know, agree that ICANN delivers core internet functions, and it's pretty much the same for both internal and external stakeholders. The same holds true for the last box, where you see plans for scale and security and continuity. Again, high marks. Where there is room for improvement is in the middle, the notion of being a steward of the public interest. Pretty much the same alignment between internal and external stakeholders, but there could be a little bit more improvement to get it to the level. But all in all, high marks with respect to overall mission. Now, when we look at the operations, we asked a number of questions. We asked questions around finance. We asked questions about program management. We ask questions about innovation, leadership, communication, you know, the kind of company that you want to work with, and then finally, you know, a summary of excellence in everything. Now, there's two things. The first two is financially strong and manages services effectively. We see that that's really in the top, and the rest are kind of below 50%. And the last, I would draw your attention to the last graph here, in excellence in all its operations. And I think here there's room for improvement. But clearly, as you're evolving and putting new processes in place and growing the organization, you know, we would expect that to move in time. But that's an area, and you could see there's pretty close alignment between internal and external stakeholders. So we would certainly see that to come back in 6 or 8 months and see how that moves. We also asked a question to internal stakeholders in respect to, will the organization fulfill its mission from the ICANN 45 meeting in Toronto? And an overwhelming majority of you said yes. So it's believing that what took place in Toronto will be implemented. So you as an organization believe that that's going to happen. Now, when we turn to image and reputation, we're going to see some critics. And I would turn your attention to the blue boxes on the bottom. So when you look at internal stakeholders and external stakeholders, you have critics. And it's pretty closely aligned. 37% of internal stakeholders said that they would be critical of the organization. About 40% of the external stakeholders would be critical. But what I would submit is look at the beige box, because here you have a lot of undecided voters, if you would. You have 35% of the internal stakeholders are neutral, and you have 42% of the external stakeholders also being neutral. So here's a good opportunity for you to convert these into advocates. Now, by doing that, you may pull some of the critics into that camp, but the good news here is the fact that you do have a significant amount of stakeholders who you could drive and help shape opinions to and bring them into the advocacy camp. Now, when we look at the media coverage, I want to make a few points. The first is you could see the yellow, which is neutral. And this, again, ties back to what I mentioned earlier when we saw those gray boxes around, from the influencer side being neutral. So we had 41% of the coverage just not being positive, not being negative. You had 38% of the coverage being favorable. But of that 38%, majority of it was coverage around the Toronto meeting and the signing of the IANA contract. And then the unfavorable coverage was pretty much centered around the new GTLD program. But the good news here is, overall, if you look at the rating on the bottom, and that's through that scoring methodology that I highlighted earlier, the overall tonality is 51.8%. So that means that you're above the neutral in total, and you're tracking toward a favorable or positive tonality. Now, when we look at trust, we're going to see that there's a very good platform to build off of. And, you know, trust and ethics we see are certainly higher among external stakeholders than internal. And again, I think that's probably that notion of, you know, if I'm an external stakeholder, I deal with the organization and it's about me. Whereas I think internal stakeholders, there's more of a certainly more of a day-to-day integration and operation in that. And I think the same is with ethics. So we look at ethics, external stakeholders give 61% in terms of highest standards in ethics and integrity. The good news, certainly on an internal side, you're over 50%, 52% rate you high on the notion of ethics. I think one thing that we saw in our conversations with internal stakeholders was this notion that the decision-making process is sometimes viewed as closed. So I think this is something for us to keep in mind, that there's a perception out there that in some cases the decision-making isn't really open, which gets back to what we said earlier about transparency and accountability. So again, making that, you know, driving those themes and messaging to shape that opinion and perception that it's not a closed process is certainly something to keep in mind. Now, on the issue of balancing stakeholder interests, I'd like to draw your attention to two data points here. First is the blue box, and the second is the orange box below. So what the blue box is saying is that 35% of the commercial business community doesn't know if the organization really understands its needs. So here's a great opportunity to really go out, message, and bring those stakeholders over. Now, when we look at the internal stakeholders, you know, it's kind of split. So you have almost half of the internal stakeholders believe that, you know, you're doing just a fair job at understanding the needs of your own stakeholders. So here's an opportunity to engage more, to educate, to really have more of an engagement with those stakeholders. Now, this next chart is not it's not Bob giving everybody an eye chart here. So what I want to do is break it down. There's three things going on here. So we asked the question, you know, in your opinion, you know, the degree to which internal stakeholders are able to engage with the groups on the left. So you look at the top four, you get high marks on engaging with registries and registrars, the U.S. government, commercial interest, and the technical community. So those are on the top. So that's what the internal stakeholders felt, that the best engagement is with these groups. Now I turn your attention to the bottom. The bottom line here highlights the fact that with the general public, you believe you're doing a poor job in terms of stakeholder engagement. And then the rest are kind of in the middle. And that's engaging with the media, that's engaging with NGOs, developing countries, academics, and non-U.S. government entities, kind of a mix here. So you have the four on the top, and then you have the one that is very poor is the engagement with the public. Now, in terms of internationalization, this, as I mentioned earlier, you know, this is something where as you roll out your new organization structure, we would expect this to change. Now, think of this as as two extremes. On one side is a truly global perception. Is the organization viewed as truly global? And on the other side of the spectrum is it very U.S.-centric? And I think what's interesting here is in both groups, it's pretty close in terms of the perception of it being a truly global organization, and on the other hand, it being a very U.S.-centric organization. What you have is this big chasm in the middle of people that really don't know. Is it global? Is it U.S.? Or, gee, I don't know. And so here we would certainly think that as the new organization structure gets rolled out, these perceptions should change. Now we asked the first question, another question of internal stakeholders with respect to the degree to which ICANN is successful in developing regional strategies. And here what we've seen is pretty much a kind of a mixed bag where you have about 43% saying, yeah, they strongly agree, intend to agree with that. And then you have another 40% tend to disagree, and another 7%. So it's kind of the jury is still out in respect to the regional strategy success. Another question we asked is this whole notion about, you know, functioning under U.S. law. Now here, there's really nothing. It's very fragmented. We did not see one way or another, and you could see that in the data. It's pretty much across the board in the low to mid-20s. And then finally, we asked a question in respect to the ITU, and is that a viable alternative to ICANN? And you could see a majority of 61% said no. Now, on the notion of global participation, very, very high marks across the board by both internal and external stakeholders. You could see 89% of the external stakeholders agree with that, 82% of the internal stakeholders. And you could see that, again, integrates global and regional responsibilities, you know, high marks by both the commercial and internal stakeholders. One thing I do want to mention, in respect to the regional strategies, and we heard this during our conversations, this is very important. And we saw that in Toronto with the unveiling of the Africa strategy. A lot of the stakeholders are looking for regional. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I have it in my. How do you want me to work this? You want? I have a flash drive.
Sorry, everybody.
Excuse me. So as I was saying, the notion of regional strategies and being able to really engage stakeholders at a local level or regional level, we heard that is going to be very, very important. So it's the notion of, you know, act globally, but think globally, but really act on a regional level and really engage as many stakeholders as you can. And this is something that we would certainly encourage because we heard that time and time again from many, many stakeholders. And I think the last one here is about government relations. And as you can see, both internal and external stakeholders believe that you're doing a good job in maintaining good government relations. Now, when we come to the new GTLD services, I'm going to leave some of the quotes up that we found from the in-depth discussions just to provide some context. Because you don't need me to tell you how important this program is. This has come through loud and clear through our discussions, and you'll see it in the following slides. So as a reputational driver, this is very, very important and a very significant driver to the organization. Now, what I'm going to show you on the next slide is really a series of questions that we asked in respect to the management operations of the new program. And we asked it from both an internal perspective and a commercial perspective. And again, it's not an eye chart, but So I'm going to break it down. There's about three or four things going on here. So when you look at it from an internal perspective, the internal organization, in relative terms, is a harsher critic than the commercial stakeholders. I'd like to point out one point on the internal side, and that's in respect to the promotion. So overall promotion, you know, promoting the program from an internal perspective receives high marks. Now what I'd like to do is look at the commercial side, and I'd like to draw your attention to the blue box that's under the dispute resolution process, because I think here is an opportunity. You have 29% of the commercial stakeholders don't know anything about it. So I think here's an opportunity to go out and really educate these stakeholders about what that particular element of the program is, as well as just educating them about the program. Because what you see is, if you go down to the overall operational management of the program, you know, you have a three quarters are saying that it's managed just fair or poor. Now, one of the other points I'd like to raise, why is that? And I think another driver of that is the last bar here, which is the notion about transparency of the decision-making process. So one thought we had is the fact that if stakeholders believe potentially that there might be a lack of transparency, they might say, well, then it's not operating properly. And that's one way. So what does that mean? Again, that notion of communicating transparency, communicating openness, communicating all that to these stakeholders is going to be critical, because that's one way to help drive that, change that perception. The other one I just want to raise is, if you look at the one above it, is the balancing the interests of diverse groups. And we see that's very higher in the commercial sector. And you might say, well, Bob, why do you think that? And I think it really comes down to, you know, if I'm taken care of, I probably think everybody else is. So I think the commercial interests are looking at it that way, which is why we see a higher percentage of those stakeholders rating that at 43%. Now, when we come down to communications, and this is what we saw in the beginning of the presentation, there are a few things going on here. Number one, if you look at third-party generated, you have about 34% of the comms is generated by third parties. About another 37% is generated by journalists. And you could see, again, in our scoring methodology, you're pretty much at that neutral level, 50.6%, 49.4%. So it's really netting out a neutral. But when you look at corporate comms, you see that the scoring here is 57.9%. So you're in a favorable category, and yet it's only used 25%. So the big diamond in the rough here is corporate comms, because it's about controlling the message, and you're only doing it 25% of the time. Now, you might ask, well, Bob, how does that rate in other industries? And we took that, we looked through our database and find that the industry average is typically 40 to 60%. So this is a big underutilized asset, because what you want to be doing is you want to be out there controlling your story. And it's not about spin. It's just about getting your message across. And I think if you do that, and to come back and measure, you know, how that really influences all those other tabs that we saw in the beginning of the presentation, we would see movement toward the favorable side. Now, this last question I'm not going to spend too much time on. What we asked, this is really about channels, and how do stakeholders want to be engaged, and what kind of channel do they find most appealing. And basically the way this breaks down is that internal stakeholders find direct contact most valuable. External stakeholders find indirect contact more valuable. And indirect contact meaning websites, webinars, whereas direct contact are meetings and actual personal interaction. So what does all this really mean? And you know, to sum this discussion up this afternoon, it really does come down to stakeholder engagement. It's really about going out, leveraging your successes, driving the conversation, you know, addressing the negative perceptions, and then taking action. And taking action with clear values and principles, you know, driving on relationships of mutual trust and respect, aligning everything to meet the demands of your biggest reputational asset, which is the multi-stakeholder model. And then really using that as a way to help shape the debate and really to be that beacon that supports the one world, one internet debate. Ladies and gentlemen, I appreciate your time today. I could tell you that our firm is certainly honored to be part of this process and provide this information to ICANN. And I'd be happy to take any questions or perspectives that you may have.
Good. Thank you, Bob. We've got about 10 minutes before the session is supposed to end. If anybody has a question on any of the work here, Karen?
Hi. I'd be interested to know, with your database, other companies, et cetera, whether the media coverage was coming out each time as almost exactly in the middle, neutral. What's the sort of – do you find much variation with other companies, or does it typically wind out neutral?
Well, that's a great question, the question being about, you know, neutrality and coverage. And I think, you know, again, what we see is when corporate comms is, you know, engaged and active, you know, we see that, you know, shifting the debate and providing a much more positive type of coverage. And clearly, if comms is being used at a higher level, you're controlling the story. So that story typically is going to have, you know, it should be in a more favorable perception. So that in turn will pull other stakeholders and other. So if somebody's looking at corporate comms from a third party, they're going to be picking that up. So there's kind of a multiplier effect as well. Yes.
Hi, Bob.
Hi.
My name is Marilyn Cade, and I wanted to make a comment about the use of a particular word to describe ICANN and okay. Ask a question about it. ICANN is not a company. And one of the things that I think all of us are struggling with, and I work a lot in the international environment related to internet governance, one of the things that I think a lot of us are struggling with is it is a very unique and new creature, so to speak. Mm-hmm. And so I really like seeing the application of techniques that are tested and tried, as you know, I mentioned to you that I
yes.
work for a major corporation. But I also was wondering if you think we may need to do more thinking about the uniqueness of the animal that ICANN is, because it has elements of allocating a resource that needs to be shared.
Mm-hmm.
It is not a government. It has a responsibility to act in the public interest in its decisions. It has the need to build a governance model. So it's a very wide and diverse set of roles that it needs to play. And looking at this and using measurement tools, I was just wondering, looking ahead, if you thought that we may need to be pioneering more in what's in the kinds of things that we measure.
That's a great question. And to answer it, clearly, the multi-stakeholder model is unique, and we saw that just in terms of when we were developing the research, and you look at internal and external stakeholders, for example, and that's one where there is it is a unique model, because there is some, I could be internal or I could be external depending upon where I sit. So I think the model is unique, but the model works, and the model is a very strong reputational asset. The dimensions that we looked at are the eight that we surveyed are key critical, reputational drivers, and that's what we used for the basis of this study, to say, from our experience, these are typically the eight that really drive and have an impact to reputation. Now, that's not to say that there should be additional work involved, but these the set of eight will provide a very good baseline that we could then go measure. But you are correct. It is a very, very unique organization, because you're right. It isn't a company. It isn't a. It falls under that quasi government, quasi something, company type of model.
And just a follow up. And so, asking a question about how we think we're doing with the U.S. government. To me, I am a U.S. citizen, but I work globally. So I would need to ask the question of how am I doing with the world's governments, just as I needed to ask the question of how am I doing with the world's users. Would that be right?
I think what we saw was, in respect to the U.S. government, it was kind of, we asked the question, does U.S. law hinder ICANN's ability? Okay. And it really didn't come out anyway. It was kind of a fragmentation. Yeah.
Thank you.
Anyone else? If not, Bob, thank you. And as Bob said, ECHO is going to be completing this hopefully by the end of the month. And
yes,
then
sir.
Corporate comms will be working with ECHO to produce this in a digestible form and present it to the community as well. Thank you so much. Thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Thank you.